Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Today we have a great show where we are going to go back to the basics in cybersecurity. Our guest today, Eric Bailey, is a senior consultant at Patch Plus Consulting and also the vice president of the local ISC Squared chapter. If you're not familiar with them, they're the ones that do the CISSP credential among other very high-level cybersecurity credentials you see after everybody's name. But Eric is a retired Air Force cyber officer. Eric, welcome today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Chris. Glad to be here.
Well, good. So definitely, I love the conversation I have with you about, hey, what are the basics in cybersecurity? But we want to first understand you. I gave you a little bit of an intro. How did you get to where you're at? What does it take to be a little Eric that likes cybersecurity?
Started a few years ago when a lot of years ago. And I met my wife, and she was a programmer for IBM, convinced me to take my first few basic class, and I was hooked. I became a programmer for the Air Force, and then throughout my career became more and more focused on the operational side of things, not just understanding how to build the systems, but what were the vulnerabilities in those systems, what were the threats to those systems, which could exploit those vulnerabilities and ultimately become risk. And so that became my passion for the last few years of my career, where I focused a lot on defending our networks and the information there.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't usually hear of the Air Force being developing software. What kind of software would you be developing for the Air Force?
The Air Force has a software development career field. And so at the time, I worked at the Air Force Weather Agency, and I developed various tools that help display weather information for warfighters out there.
Okay. I would think that that's what contractors do for the Air Force. So they actually have their own Air Force personnel designing software that then I guess the Air Force owns, or how does that work?
Correct. Yep, that becomes GOSS, government off-the-shelf software, right? So we do have programmers. It's not a very big career field. But they do have programmers out there that, you know, wear the uniform and do write code. Don't get me wrong, a lot of contract support on that side. A lot of your big systems that you think of are primarily written by contract.
Uh-huh. So when you started developing software, sounds like some really old languages there. What did you say the first language you used was?
So in college, it was too basic. It was the first language I used.
Okay.
In the Air Force, I used a little bit of Ada. I'm going to go way back in the day here, Fortran 77. I had some mainframes that were running that. Then we eventually transitioned to Java 1.0. So I am definitely dating myself. This was quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the Air Force. The Air Force uses a lot of the popular software development languages that we have out there today, just like industry. It is.
Yeah. So when you go back and think about that old software you wrote, did you think about security that we see problems with today when you were doing that?
You know, I don't think we did. I think it was a little different back then. It's not that we didn't do security, right? We did, but not in the same way we think of it today, or mm-hmm. at least I did, right? And we were looking at developing software. So that's where we start, you know, hey, it compiled, thumbs up.
Right? Yeah, we're good.
We're good, right? Not looking at, you know, today's development, software development processes are so much more complex. And they really work hard to bake that security in from the beginning, all the way down to the code level, right, and what you're doing with your data, how you're storing values in memory, right? We look at now how you can exploit systems, and what are you normally taking advantage of, right? Core memory management is a big piece of that, where a lot of exploits work.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break right now and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we want to know your definition of cybersecurity and what you've been involved with. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're talking to Eric Bailey, who is a senior consultant at Patch Plus Consulting. Eric, we had preluded before the break that we wanted to know what you think the definition of cybersecurity is. And how would you define that?
You know, it's an interesting conversation I've had with a lot of people. I think you can ask 10 people what cyber is and get 15 definitions. You know, is the help desk cyber? What about people installing the fiber that are connecting our network? Is it just network defense? What about patching and general health of the network? Sometimes I think the answer depends on where you sit today. I tend to lean towards cyber security is more focused on network defense than it is on, say, installing fiber or installing systems. But those are critically important and interlaced with those cyber security operations that are being conducted. Mm-hmm. We go to patching and general health of the network, right? How important is that general health of the network? So we're all concerned about the CIA triad. Right? People talk about your confidentiality, integrity, and availability on a regular basis. And I think depending on what organization you're a part of, depends on which leg or legs of that triad are more important. Right? There are some entities out there, obviously, that confidentiality is critical. Maybe another entity, it's all about availability. And so that's going to drive a lot of some of that general health of the network, which is what kind of comes back to our cyber discussion. If for them, just having the network available all the time, maybe that patching is a little less a part of their cybersecurity than having uptime rates, right, which become critically important to them. Mm-hmm. But you still have to do that patching and some of those defensive measures as well. So we have to define what is fiber. Fiber to me, if we were to answer that question simply, were to be those network defense and maintenance activities that are taken in order to ensure the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of your network.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always question the availability piece because from being a design engineer for so many years, availability isn't something we actually think about designing. It's a byproduct of things that don't work right. And I always wondered how that got to be in cybersecurity and wasn't in quality. What's your thoughts on that?
So I think that the reason you do cybersecurity isn't to secure the network. It's to enable whatever your business or operation is. And oftentimes that business or operation relies on availability of some sort, even if it's only internal to your organization. So if you remove cybersecurity and somebody does a denial of service through whatever means, right, of your software or of your systems, and they're no longer available, have you succeeded in your cybersecurity efforts? I think the answer would be no.
Okay, I think I understand that approach, and I've always, like I said, from being a designer, though, you have to assume that we're not designing in any availability except for 100%. So it's almost, it's a constant. That makes sense?
The availability of the content?
The availability, no matter what you're designing, if you're making a software system or a network, you plan for 100% availability. Anything less than that is just an operational mode of what is the quality of your operations.
I see what you're saying. No, I can agree with that. However, you should plan for what could happen, and so therefore you're going to have as you're engineering the system, if you have some sort of backup capability or alternate paths or alternate data sources, depending on what it is you do. So that way, if something becomes unavailable, you are able to, we'll say, cut over to a more available system. But that becomes part of your security plan. It could be an operational plan, and not necessarily security related, right? Someone trips over a power cable and unplugs your primary system. Are you able to fail over to something else, right? But it could also be because something malicious had occurred that requires you to do that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So we're getting a little deep here because we talked about back to basics in cybersecurity. So simplifying it. So if we had to simplify cybersecurity to say, what is this simple piece that we're all kind of stumbling over? How can we bring everybody to the same definition? What is that?
Well, so the definition, like I said, is all the things that require you to discuss that CIA triad. Sometimes we have to get back to the beginning of development and procurement, right? How about creating those secure and available products from the start? When you go buy software or you create software or you buy hardware or you build hardware, how about thinking about security from the very beginning? Don't develop everything and then say, oh, by the way, we've got to secure this thing. You start that from the beginning. Maintenance of those systems, right? Since we were kids, we were told you've got to brush your teeth every day. Right? After every meal, you should brush your teeth. You got to maintain those teeth, because if you don't, you're going to get old, they're going to fall out. Well, your cyber systems, your computer systems are the same. You have to maintain them. How do you maintain them? Patches could be a part of that maintenance procedure. It could be rebooting. It could be a lot of different things depending on the system that you're using. But do you have a plan on how you're going to do that and how you're going to keep that up to date? What is your process for doing that and not impacting your business in a negative fashion? Those are very basic things versus jumping straight into, I'm defending my network, when you haven't properly maintained your network, right? So some of those are the basics that allow your system to be more defensible to begin.
Yeah, we're talking about a business plan almost here, you know, your business continuity, right? How are you going to recover from things that you don't, adverse conditions, we'll say. All these things, though, like if we look at the CISSP, since you work with ISC squared pretty close, they have all those, used to be 10, now it's 8 domains. And each one is full of so many different things to remember. It's like, boom, if I had to simplify this and go back to what is the base parts, we can't just say, oh yeah, you got to know all those things. The base parts are got to be something simpler. How do we simplify it?
So we talk about education and training. That's a critical part of any of this, right? And of course, the CISSP is a certification.
Yeah.
That certifies that you have a certain level of knowledge, right, on those 8 domains. But we talked earlier before we got on the phone here about how I'd worked with an entity that was looking for a cyber internship program, and they were struggling with people quitting because it was difficult. And they wanted to know how to make it less difficult. So can we make it easier? I think the answer is both yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the fundamentals. You can build anyone up. Do you jump into lessons on IDSs and IPSs, or do you start with the OSI model? Right? You come in, and we're going to teach you how to hack. Do you even know what that means? How about we start with the importance of each layer of the OSI model and how it applies to the world we're living in? How are signals sent, received, and interpreted? Over what media? You know, what are the different protocols that are used? What's IPv4 versus IPv6? Why do we care about subnetting, right? And you continue to walk up the stack.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, right? We've got to try to, instead of eat the elephant all at once, got to take a little nibble at a time and start with the very basics. Use that example of, you know, medical providers don't start with education in an emergency room. They start with the fundamentals of biology and the human body. We've got to do the same in the cyber domain, because if someone jumps in off the street and says, I want to be a cyber expert, what do I have to do? And they look at using the CISSP domains again, right? They look at all those domains and go, oh my goodness, that's just too much to learn. Well, start with the basics. Start with understanding what is networking. right, looking at the OSI model and deconstructing those pieces. And if you start there and slowly work your way up, you can continue to expand your knowledge across all the domains and eventually choose one to specialize in and then really deep dive into that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to take a break now here from our sponsors. When we come back, I want to talk about this trend that we're having towards credentials and people looking to, we don't need a degree, we don't need to have a deep knowledge, we just need to get the right terminology in the industry. I want to talk about that change because it sounds like you're almost on the opposite side. But hold on a minute, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're talking to Eric Bailey, retired Air Force cyber officer. And he's talking about the details or going back to the basics and learning the basics before you can get to the point where you can jump in and start hacking or whatever somebody wants to do. But Eric, you know, so often lately, I hear this debate of, our new employees don't need to have a degree. We just need to teach them the base terminology in the industry, have them get a credential, a Security Plus, Network Plus, CISSP, or something less complex, just so they know the terminology, and they just skip the degree. But you seem to be saying, hey, we need to build on the basics. People are missing all those things that we had to know to be able to get to the point where we can start the hacking or whatever we want to do in cybersecurity. What are your thoughts on that?
So we could have a really long conversation about this topic. First, I'll say I think certifications serve a purpose, right? I'm not saying that they're useless, but I think that they're important. I think that you have to balance, just like with any education, right? If someone steps into an interview with you and says, I've got a degree in computer science, are you just going to let it go at that and assume that everything you know about computer science is also what they know? I'm going to guess not. We're probably going to talk to them, have a conversation about maybe the position they're being interviewed for and what their depth of knowledge is that applies to that particular position. The same goes for certification. Just because someone has a certification does not necessarily mean they are the expert in that area. It means they have shown knowledge in that area, much like going to school.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is, they can kind of do that, study really hard and take a test and then dump it right afterwards. You know, you still have to have that conversation with folks. So going to boot camps, and we all know someone in our life, right, that is a professional certification gatherer.
Mm-hmm.
Goes from boot camp to boot camp to boot camp and just keeps getting certifications. Now, is that person knowledgeable? Absolutely. They have some knowledge, but the question is knowledgeable in what and to what depth and to what end are they going to do? I think that you could potentially take a good test taker off the street and they could get some of the certifications out there. Some of them require additional background, like the CISSP, right? We mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some kind of vouch for your years of experience. You can't be that person that comes off the street and gets the certification right off the bat. So that's an important piece of this discussion as well. What I would say is that it's not just education or just certifications or just experience. It's a combination.
Hmm.
One of the best cyber operators I ever knew had a history degree, had never touched a computer in his life, started other than, what he had to do for schooling and whatnot. But he came in as an operator, and he became phenomenal, right? He was a great operator, had a history degree.
Hmm.
I know another friend of mine is phenomenal operator, not a certification under his belt at all, not one. Doesn't care to get them, but he could definitely pen test circles around most people I know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that, right? Some businesses require that certification, and we've got the DoD 8570 requirements. We won't hit on those, but a business can use that to kind of narrow the field of resumes, right? Because we all know we get those, you get that influx of resumes. People say, well, it's really easy. If these people have certifications, then I can start with them, kind of narrow the field down, and then we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Versus having to look at all 500 resumes they received, maybe they'll have to look at 200. So there's definitely rules there.
You know, you mentioned something that I've often wondered about, as far as, you know, these people coming in, wow, this person's great. They have a history degree. You know, what is it that makes certain people just really good at this and other people maybe not so? Is there somewhat of a built-in affinity towards, we're just good at this and it doesn't matter what degree we have, and maybe we need to find those people on some kind of a testing scheme rather than train people who just might not have the aptitude for it? What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I think there are people out there that have natural aptitudes for things. I think my example of the guy with the history degree is great. But you have some people that also have a passion for it, right? I've always said that I would rather work with someone that had a lot of passion and little mm-hmm. experience or knowledge than the smartest person who had zero passion. Because the person with passion is going to continue to improve and grow and do great things because that's what satisfies them.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that entirely.
So you can shape them, and you can feed them the information, and then they become experts eventually because that's what they want,
mm-hmm.
right? Versus someone that maybe is just checking a box off to add something to their resume or put a feather in their cap, right? You can immediately tell the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And so that passion is going to lead that individual to read, to set up home networks, to participate and capture the flag events, to go to social events and things like that, to kind of broaden their knowledge base across the board.
Hmm. Do you think maybe there's a certification for the base knowledge pieces? Because most of the certifications are very complex, detailed about being, you know, very almost expert in a certain realm of cyber. Maybe there's we need a base level certification that says, you know, all the language at the base of everything.
I think that there are some that tend towards that, right? Your GIAC, Security Essentials certification is basic in that way. Talk about A+, Net Plus, things like that.
Yeah.
Some of those are a little more towards the kind of baseline knowledge perspective. So mm-hmm. I think that there's something out there. I mean, that's the challenge with any certification, right? What itch does it scratch?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the person who wrote it and what reason that they wrote that certification or that test for. And so it doesn't necessarily solve every problem you want for your organization. But maybe it fits the bill enough.
Yeah. You know, a quick question about that. You're being associated with ISC Squared. It opens up another curiosity to me. They have a new SSCP credential. I didn't hear you mention that, and I figured you know something about this that organization. What do you think about those newer credentials there versus the other ones that you mentioned, the Net Plus and everything? What's your take on those new credentials they've opened up probably in the last, year and a half?
They have opened up quite a few, and I think it's not just ISC Squared, but other entities as well, right, producing new certifications. And what they're realizing, I think, is something that we touched on earlier. Things like the CISC, you know, you've always heard the term inch deep, mile wide, or at least I have, right, in reference mm-hmm. to the CISSP. It's kind of a little bit of knowledge about a lot of things. And so these other certifications like the SSCP start to really dive into a particular area of, we'll say, the cyber domain and start to become more, make sure that that person that is receiving that certification truly has that expertise in that particular area. I think SSCP is a good example of that. And if you've ever heard of the OSCP, that's another certification out there that's, you know, very hands-on, lab-driven certification, kind of like the CCIE.
Uh-huh.
Certification out there for Cisco folks on the networking side, right? It's difficult, it's hands-on, it's not filling out a bubble sheet.
Yeah.
It's making sure that you can truly do what you say you can do versus having a knowledge, which is important, but it's just kind of different tests depending on what you want that person to do. right? If I'm working in a management position, or I'm an interface between, say, you know, engineers and the management of a company, I don't necessarily need to put my hands on keyboard and be able to configure devices. I just need to have the knowledge to understand what the technicians are doing and saying, and what the business side is doing and saying, and being able to translate between the two. So the certifications provide that, right? They say, hey, I have the knowledge to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm the person with hands on keyboard, maybe I want a more focused certification on the things that I'm going to be doing from a technical perspective every day. And so that's why I think you're seeing a lot of growth in the certification side, because they're starting to see a desire for some of those focused certifications.
Yeah. Do you think it's a bubble? You think, and I've seen this before, when certifications have become very hot and then not later.
I do. I think it's in a coming wave. I think there may be the new greatest certification that pops up, and everybody suddenly wants to have someone with that certification. And then suddenly everyone has that certification, and it's not so great anymore, or so unique, I guess, might be the right terminology.
Yeah.
They want that next level of distinguisher between folks. I mean, it used to be if you just had the degree, you were good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've all met that computer science major that can't code Hello World anymore, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, this reminds me of that. Right? It was like a Dr. Seuss cartoon where the little ant, the guys were getting stars in their bellies or not, and running around through the machines, taking the star off, putting it on to differentiate themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I forget what that one was called.
I don't remember either, but I know exactly what you're talking about. So that's it, right? It just kind of becomes a differentiator. It says, hey, look, I have some knowledge in this area, so let's have a conversation. And that conversation can be a little more comfortable because you know what my baseline level of knowledge is because I have this certification, right?
Yeah. All right, kind of moving towards, we got to wrap up here soon, but as far as what you do, what kind of things do you do for your customers? If somebody was looking for support, in what areas would they contact you, and how would you help them out?
So wearing my Apache Plus hat, we were really focused on support to DoD entities, providing that weapons officer, right? We had talked about the Air Force Weapons School earlier, that weapons officer expertise in a given domain. And so they can reach out to us for anything from education and training, right? Weapons graduates are all expert instructors in a number of domains, whether that's intel-focused, space, cyber-focused, right? We've got expertise in all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for how to solve a particular problem in any of those domains, either from a very high level down to a very tactical or technical level, we have the ability to do that there. ISC Squared, obviously, the local chapter here, we've mentioned that. So our chapter's involved in a lot of things. We like to help out in the community as much as we can. We have folks that assist with cyber patriot teams out there, you know, the high school students that participate in some of those defensive competitions every year. We have guest speakers at the local colleges and universities that go around and kind of bring a fresh, real-world, we'll say, industry perspective to the students. Because sometimes, you know, the students just get buried in the books and, you know, they kind of get focused on an academic piece, and it's good to bring them up for a minute and show them how industry's doing things. I also own co-owner of a company, CT Geek, and we do a lot of those same things for industry as well, doing penetration tests, vulnerability assessments, kind of providing that cyber expertise to both small and large organizations alike.
Okay.
So that if they need any sort of expertise, they can reach out to us, and we can provide that to them.
All right. So how would somebody get a hold of you?
Final hat. They can get a hold of me at ebailey@patchplusconsulting.com. Shoot me an email there, and we can continue the conversation further.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on here today, Eric. Definitely been interesting and chatting about how do we break this security down to its basics. But thanks a lot for coming on. The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed. enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.